Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivarhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivarhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivarhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivarhari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Dana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Dana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Chiravanachari Chiravanachari Yamuna Chiravanachari Chiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivarhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivarhari Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivarhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivarhari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Dana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Chiravanachari Chiravanachari Yamuna Chiravanachari Chiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhajakacharya Astu Tarasata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Charya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhajakacharya Astu Tarasata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Nama Charya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Doita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Brindavan Dham Ki Navadeep Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Gaura Premanandi Haribo All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Guranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai My wish for the Krishna State of the Asian Earth to have something on the Namaste Sister of the Devi Governor Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
Читаем Srimad Bhagavatam.
Canto 3,
третья первая,
chapter 25, text 22,
22
the glories of devotional service.
Славы преданных служения.
Mayi ananyena bhavena. Ananyena bhavena. Bhaktim kurvanti yedritam, bhaktim yedritam, makrite chatva karmanas, makrite chatva karmanas, chatva sajjana bhandava, mayi ananyena bhavena, bhaktim kurvanti yedritam, yedritam, Matkrite chaktva karmanas, matkrite chaktva karmanas, chaktva sajjana bhandava, chaktva sajjana bhandava. Mayi ananyena bhavena,
bhaktim kurvanti yedridam,
bhaktim kurvanti yedridam,
matkrite chakta karmanas,
matkrite chakta karmanas,
chakta svajana bandava,
chakta svajana bandava.
Mayi ananyena bhavena,
mayi ananyena bhavena,
bhaktim kurvanti yedridam,
bhaktim kurvanti yedridam,
matkrite chakta karmanas,
matkrite chakta karmanas,
chakta svajana bandava,
chakta svajana bandava.
Mayi ananyena bhavena,
bhaktim kurvanti yedridam, matkrite chaktva karmanas, chaktva sajjana bandava,
mayi
ananyena bhavena, bhaktim kurvanti yedridam,
matkrite chaktva karmanas,
karmanas, chaktva sajjana bhanda. Ladies. Makrite chaktva karmanas, chaktva sajjana bandava. Mayi, unto me, ananyena, bhavena, with undivided mind. Undeviated mind. Bhaktim, devotional service. Kurvanti, perform. Yea, those who, dridham, staunch. Madkrite, for my sake, chaktva, renounced, karmana, activities, chakta, renounced, sajjana, family relationships, bandaha, friendly acquaintances. Translation. Such a sadhu engages in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections, such as family relationships and friendly acquaintances within the world. Purport by Srila
Prabhupada.
A person in the renounced order of life,
života,
a sannyasi, is also called a sadhu,
također se zove I sadhu
because he renounces everything,
zato što se svega odriče,
his home, his comfort,
doma,
his friends, his relatives,
rođaka,
and his duty to friends and family.
Prema prijateljima I obitelji.
He renounces everything
odriče
for the sake
svega
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Zbog svevišnje božanske osobe.
A sannyasi is generally in the renounced order of life. But his renunciation will be successful only when his energy is employed in the service of the Lord with great austerity. It is said here, therefore, bhaktim korvanti ye dritam, that a person who seriously engages in the service of the Lord and is in the renounced order of life is a sadhu. A sadhu is one who has given up all responsibility to society, family, and worldly humanitarianism simply for the service of the Lord. As soon as he takes his birth in this world, a person has so many responsibilities and obligations to the public, to the demigods, to the great sages, to the general living beings, to his parents, to the family forefathers, and to many others. When he gives up all such obligations for the sake of the service of the Lord, he is not punished for such renunciation of obligation. But for sense gratification, a person renounces all such obligations, he is punished by the laws of nature. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjanan salakaya chaksu amilitam dina tasmai shri garve namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. So it's interesting that we have this verse the day after the wedding. So last night we had an elaborate wedding ceremony, dancing, gopis, music, elaborate ceremony, parents, family, relatives, all giving words of benediction. The blessings of all the assembled devotees, even the guru was there blessing the ceremony. And yet we're reading about a verse that the sadhu, the nature or the definition of a sadhu. Of course, the previous verse was the qualities of the sadhu, which I'll read again because it's always worth memorizing. That the symptoms of the sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. And then this verse was that such a sadhu, person like that with those qualities, in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation, and for the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections. So the sadhu, he is not interested in all of these things for himself. That's the important point.
I to je važno naglasiti.
So there's a purport in the Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada talks about marriage. So, by reading this verse, we begin to think, well, marriage is Maya, family is Maya, it's all Maya,
just like
we have those feelings sometimes in our movement. And that no one should be, marriage should not be encouraged. Take sannyas, not grihas. This was we had this Radha Damodar party. Many of you have heard of it. I was also on it for about 6 months. And it was all sannyasis and brahmacharis, Tamal Krishna Swami, Vishnu Jan Swami, Sudama Swami, Drishtadumna
Swami.
And all the young men of ISKCON, we wanted to all run away and join the buses and travel and preach. And we were very austere. We went on Sankirtan every day all over. We used to, just like we say the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, we used to say dust of the parking lots, kijai, the parking lots of the shopping centers, because we would be out there performing yajna all day, distributing Prabhupada's books and preaching to people. And we also had festivals, too, besides Sankirtan.
held many festivals at the colleges. Mnoge festivale na fakultetima.
So our mood as young men was
mladi ljudi.
Take sannyas, not grihas. We're all waiting for that day when Tamal Krishna will recommend us to the sannyas board, put us on the list.
And we were all
thinking that way. None of us were thinking, let me, you know, get a wife and a house and a job and responsibilities, children. Wasn't in our mind. But as the nature of time is, these things creep up on us. So what to do?
Should we,
you know, what is the position of the brahmachari who's come to the point in his life where he says, I can't stand it anymore. Time to move on to the next ashram before I do something abominable. So, Prabhupada, what does Prabhupada say?
Što Prabhupad kaže?
We may say so many things, but
mi
if we quote from Prabhupada,
toliko toga, ali ako navodimo Prabhupada,
then we're okay.
Onda se u redu.
So, in the chapter 18,
dakle,
text 5,
poglavlju, u petoj
I'll read
strofi,
the verse. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penances purify even the great souls. So even great souls get purified by sacrifice and charity.
Purport.
The yogis should perform acts for the advancement of human society. There are many purificatory processes for advancing a human being to spiritual life. The marriage ceremony, for example, is considered to be one of these sacrifices. It is called Vivaha Yagna. Now, should a sannyasi who is in the renounced order of life and who has given up his family, relations, encourage the marriage ceremony? The Lord says here that any sacrifice which is meant for human welfare should never be given up. Vivaha Yagna, the marriage ceremony, is meant to regulate the human mind so that it may become peaceful for spiritual advancement. Now, how often do we hear a class where it is describing marriage as a regulation of our mind so that we can become peaceful for spiritual advancement? Quite often we hear something negative about the ashram. But here Prabhupada says that it is meant to regulate our mind so that we can become peaceful. Prabhupada said, just have one wife and be satisfied with that.
Imajte samo jednu ženu I budite zadovoljni.
The unpeaceful society is the man who is wanting so many women. So if one has just one wife, and the wife will make sure you keep only one wife, that is her job, then you will be peaceful and you will make spiritual advancement. Prabhupada said that every man should see his wife as the most beautiful. Because that way he stays focused. Not that he's thinking my wife is not so pretty, but that one's pretty good.
No,
he always thinks my wife is the most beautiful. And Prabhupada said something funny once. He said that man should think like that. He said, but I personally did not think my wife was very beautiful. Therefore, I was cursed or forced to take
sannyas.
So for Prabhupada, it's interesting to study the life of Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. Obviously, he was also married. He had five children. He was married when he met his guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. He was not living in the ashram as a brahmachari, traveling on preaching. He had finished college and he had started his business. So he met his Guru Maharaj. His Guru Maharaj didn't tell him to take sannyas. He told him that he should preach. You're an educated man, therefore you should preach in English to the English-speaking people.
ljudima
in the West,
koji
you know, the people in the West,
engleski,
particularly,
dakle, pogotovo ljudima na zapadu,
to spread this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he understood, he's a householder, let him do his household job, and at the same time encourage him to do some preaching. So, Prabhupada said, I never really liked my wife.
Nikada u stvari mu se nije sviđala njegova žena.
And his father told him this was a blessing. He discussed this with his father.
Raspravljao je o tome.
And he said, this is a blessing, that way you won't be too attached.
To ti je blagoslov, da ne budeš previše vezan.
You know, you have to do your duty.
Trebaš obaviti
duty means responsibility. Once you are married, your responsibility is to take care of your wife, children, take care of children, support them in all aspects. And when you're old, then you can start thinking about time to move on. Old means when the children are grown up, children are married, wife is settled, there's money to support them, then you can start thinking, let me start doing some more spiritual life. Now, Vanaprast, we have these Varnashram. So these varnas, these brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasa ashrams. So the next stage is the vanaprastha. And this is something just coming into its own age in ISKCON, because our devotees from the 70s are now in their 50s, you know, 1970s, who joined when they were in their 20s are now in their 50s, like myself. I'm in my 50s. And I've been married 28 years. My children are grown up.
Djeca su odrasla.
You know, business has been good.
Posao je
everything's
dobro,
been successful.
Išao, sve je bilo uspješno.
So now time to come out to the festivals in Croatia and in Europe and to India and to preach to the devotees and try to share with them some of my experience that I've had over the last 30, 40 years in Krishna consciousness. And as a businessman, family man, and how to live in the world and at the same time be above the world, that is an art. And that's the art of the grihastha. Of course, we have this other word, grihamedi. Two types of family people. Grihamedi means just a materialistic householder, does not sacrifice to God, does not perform all of these, regulations to give to the forefathers and perform ceremonies and sacrifices. He's just simply interested in his personal sense gratification and in his extended sense gratification, which is his family. Quite often in our classes in the temple, the speaker will not clarify the difference between grihamedi and grihastha. Prabhupada was very happy with his grihastha devotees. He never encouraged them to, artificially renounce. In fact, he encouraged the marriage ceremony, as we read in here. So in this purport, the rest of it is, for most men, this vivaha yagna should be encouraged, even by persons in the renounced order of life. So even the sannyasi should encourage the young men to get married, Prabhupada's saying here, if they want that. Not that we encourage good brahmacharis, Prabhu, you're a great brahmachari, but, time's up. Time to move out. No, if someone is a really dedicated brahmachari and likes what he's doing and is happy in that ashram, all glories to you. You're a rare soul. But Prabhupada says here that most men are not like that. And they should. And particularly when we're preaching to the, these, of course, brahmacharis in the ashram are a very small segment of our movement. We're preaching to the whole world. We're preaching to the people in the offices, the young people at the colleges, and all types of people. So those people should definitely be encouraged to be honest householders and live peacefully together. So sannyasis should never associate with women. But that does not mean that one who is in the lower stage of life, a young man, should not accept a wife in the marriage ceremony. All prescribed sacrifices are meant for achieving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in these lower stages, they should not be given up. Lower stages. So we're all in the lower stages. Lower stages means we still have some desire. You know, we're not the Uttama Adhikari, we are not seeing Krishna at every moment. We still have some desires of this world. When we're at the Guru Puja, sometimes we're glancing at the Brahmacharinis. So for these types of people, the marriage ceremony is encouraged. You know, we're not free from, we're seeing only Krishna. We all know these, you know. What's reality? So therefore, in the lower stages, they should not be given up. Similarly, charity for the purification of the heart. If charity is given to a suitable person, as described previously, it leads to the advancement in spiritual life. That's in the verse where we just read that sacrifice and charity and penance are not to be given up, but must be performed.
Napustiti, već ih treba vršiti.
So, actually, I did not finish the purport of our verse.
A nisam još ni završio komentar naše strofe.
So, a sadhu is one who has given up all responsibility to society, family, and worldly humanitarianism simply for the service of the Lord. And as soon as he takes his birth in the world, a person has so many responsibilities and obligations to the public, to the demigods, and to the great sages. So, when he gives up such obligations for the sake of the service of the Lord, he is purified for such renunciation of obligation. So when one takes sannyas, in other words, this verse is particularly talking about sannyasis, because it says in the first line, a person in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, is called a sadhu. So the sannyasi, or one who has renounced everything, and of course we all know sannyasi generally for older people, he has no obligation anymore to all, to these, to the demigods, to the forefathers, to the family members, because he's fully surrendered to Krishna. But the last line is very interesting. Prabhupada says, but for sense gratification, a person renounces all such obligations, he is punished by the laws of nature. So Prabhupada talks about the artificial or the bogus sannyasi. In India, there are many people who take, you know, some kind of renounced life. Prabhupada talks about particularly in Vrindavan, the Babajis. They've renounced their family and their responsibilities, and yet they're living with, Prabhupada says, with 2 dozen women in their ashram. And, you know, Prabhupada kind of hinted that, you know, things were not all up and up there. So this type of sannyas, he will be punished. And also, anyone who artificially renounces his family duties, thinking in the name of Krishna or in the name of devotional service, this is a higher cause, but then again continues in sense gratification, this is bogus. To spell this out, we're talking about householders who renounce their wife and their family through divorce usually, thinking, this is too much, I can't handle it, and I'm going on Sankirtan, or I'm going to India. And then again, we see them in a year or two, and they have a new wife, because they couldn't do the sannyas or the renounce. Not that they took sannyas, but they were just separated, living single life. But then again, they go back. Prabhupada said particularly about our sannyasis who felt the desire to go back to household life. He says, if you want to go back to household life, you go back to your original wife. Not that you get a new one that you found somewhere, but you go back. This happened with Rupanuga Prabhu. Rupanuga took sannyas. He was a leader in our movement in the 70s. He was GBC, Zone, everything, a BBT, big early 1966 devotee. Joined, you know, Prabhupada in the early days. And he had a wife and a young son. And due to the social pressures within our society, you know, the upward mobilization that basically, you know, if I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a leader,
we are familiar with this,
he took sannyas from Srila Prabhupada. But then after 1 year, he felt that it was too difficult to do. And Prabhupada told him that, it happens, continue with your service, you know, not that you go and drown yourself in the Ganges, but you go back to your wife, continue your service. Prabhupada was always very liberal. It says in the scriptures that if a sannyasi falls down, he should kill himself. You know, Prabhupada never told any of his sannyasis to go kill yourself, to go drown yourself in the Ganges. Prabhupada wanted devotional service, wanted us to become purified. Therefore, he understood that, you know, we're imperfect. None of us are on the liberated platform.
So
he tried to work with us and encourage us in that way. There's another verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, there's an interesting quote. Prabhupada said, on this Grihastha Vision group, their slogan is, this is a group that teaches household values in America. Their slogan on their website is a quote from Prabhupada. And it says, my Guru Maharaj created an army of sannyasis, namely Bhakti Siddhanta. He had so many brahmacharis and sannyasis. He said, but I am creating an army of grihasthas. So this is their slogan on their website. And we can see this, how Prabhupada did this. Prabhupada sent to London in 1968. Who did he send to open up one of the most important preaching fields in the world? London, New York and London, and Paris. These are the three big cities of the world that we think of. Prabhupada sent three Grihastha couples. He sent Yamuna, the singer, and her husband was Guru Das. He sent Mukunda and his wife. Who knows a third?
Sharmasundar.
Right, Sharmasundar and his wife, Malati.
Ženu, Malati.
Malati, Mother Malati, and she's still here serving today. Some of them are still here today.
Neki su još I danas
and they were very successful. We know the success, meeting the Beatles, making the album, Hare Krishna album, and Krishna Consciousness, you know, within a short time, flourish. Malati told me when they first went to London, they had nowhere to stay. And she said, we were staying in some warehouse, and I was sleeping in a cardboard box. Just like you see homeless people, they sleep in a cardboard box, you know, on the roadside. So Malati said, I was sleeping with my baby. She had her baby, her little girl child. What was her name?
Saraswati.
Right. And sleeping in a cardboard box. So these are grihasthas, but they are giving up everything to preach Krishna consciousness. Now, how many of us would be willing to do that with a young baby, go live in a cardboard box in a foreign land with no money? But under the order of Srila Prabhupada, we all felt empowered. I mean, devotees were going out all over the world for the first time, opening up new fields, and most of these devotees were family people. And they were, for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. I just met the other day for the first time the wife of Sudama Maharaj. Before, he was a householder in the beginning. And they went, she was telling me how they went to Japan together. Prabhupada sent Sudama and her to Japan. And she said, we're going to Japan. We don't speak Japanese. We don't have any money. We know no one. Just like I came to Croatia. And I had a devotee I knew, Bhavata, who lives in Zagreb. So I had met him in India. So I had some contact. I was emailing him. You know, are you going to be there? Are you going to be at the airport? You know, I don't want to arrive without knowing anybody and not knowing where to turn. So he said, yeah, no worries, Prabhu. I will be there. I'll pick you up. So I said, okay. But these devotees were going to these countries, no contact at all. Just like Prabhupada. He only had one contact of that family in Butler, Pennsylvania. Prabhupada said, when I got off the boat, I did not know whether to turn right or left. He had 40 rupees in his pocket, which is like $5, because government was not allowing exchange of the money, the Indian government. So that should be our spirit. Whether we are grihastas, brahmacharis, or sannyasis, none of us should be developing the comfortable mood of let me enjoy life. We are all thinking how I can serve Krishna as best I can. Now, brahmacharis, they have their duties. They don't have, they don't have a lot of responsibilities. They're full-time servants of the spiritual master and of Krishna. The grihastas have many duties. Their time is split up. Prabhupada said you have to split your time between Krishna and your family. This was one letter he wrote. Someone was asking about, I want to get married. So Prabhupada said if you want to get married, you should understand you're splitting your time between Krishna and your family. And that's okay. That's our duty. That's what we're signing up for when we get married. But don't think, after I'm married, that, oh, this is really, didn't expect this. You mean I have to get a job? I have to make money? I'm going back to the ashram. So one should know, that's why in Krishna conscious movement today, we encourage young people that want to get married to go to some counseling before they get married. And the counseling, they discuss these things. How are you going to support, and how are you going to live together and where you're going to live? And, go down the list of responsibilities that's coming up with the change of ashram. So that is, what we try to do today. To encourage our devotees.
Činimo danas da ohrabrimo naše bhakte.
So in the Bhagavad Gita, we talked about in the verse our obligations to our forefathers. So in some cultures, the worship of forefathers, our previous generations, is a cultural norm. Japanese, the Orient in general, and in India. I don't think in Croatia they're worshipping the forefathers too much. Catholic, right? Catholics don't worship forefathers. But in India they do. Therefore it's mentioned. So in the
Bhagavad Gita,
there is a, Prabhupada talks about this, and I'll just read it since it's mentioned, so you have what Prabhupada had to say. Says, in the purport here of text 41, of chapter 1, first chapter, according to the rules and regulations of fruitive activities, there is a need to offer periodical food and water to the forefathers of the family. Now, the important word here is that regulations of fruitive activities, or we say karmakanda. Devotees are beyond karmakanda, beyond these responsibilities, because we're already serving the Supreme Lord directly. So these obligations of forefathers is already complete. So Prabhupada says, this offering is performed by worship of Vishnu, because eating the remnants of food offered to Vishnu can deliver one from all kinds of sinful actions.
Mahaprasad.
So sometimes the forefathers may be suffering from various types of sinful reactions, and sometimes some of them cannot even acquire a gross material body and are forced to remain in subtle bodies as ghosts. Thus, when the remnants of prasadam are offered to forefathers by descendants, the forefathers are released from ghostly and other kinds of miserable lives. So such help rendered to forefathers is a family tradition, and those who are not in devotional life, another key word here, those who are not in devotional life are required to perform such rituals. So in other words, we don't have to do it. But everybody else does. That's why it goes on in India, because they're not in the devotional line. So one who is engaged in devotional life is not required to perform such actions. Simply by performing devotional service, one can deliver hundreds and thousands of forefathers from all kinds of miseries. And then Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, has given up all kinds of obligations and has taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, or forefathers. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why we're not performing puja to the forefathers. And yet we see in the life of Lord Chaitanya that as a young man, he's going to Gaya to perform this pinda ceremony to offer the prasad of Lord Vishnu to his forefathers. Because this was the culture. And he was following the duty of the family tradition. But when he goes to Gaya, he meets his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. And he becomes God-intoxicated, Prabhupada describes. This is something to look forward to, God-intoxication. Now, many of us have had experience with intoxication in this world. You know, different liquids, different smoking items. But God intoxication, that is the intoxication we want. We say no intoxication, but God intoxication. Take as much as you want, unlimited.
So,
that is the happiness, Prabhupada says, dance in ecstasy. We've all had experience in dancing at a club or at a party as non-devotees. But to dance for Krishna, this is what we look forward to. So Lord Chaitanya met Ishwarapuri. He became God intoxicated. And he came back to Navadvip, a changed man. And everybody said, what happened? You know, you were just you were the school teacher, you were the pundit, you were the sloka quoter, conservative. Now you're dancing, singing, rolling on the ground, tears shooting, eyes shooting, tears from the eyes. You know, they could not recognize him practically. All because by association with a pure devotee. So that is what we all aspire for. And that's why when we all met Srila Prabhupada, we became God intoxicated. We saw, here's a man who has all these qualities, that he's tolerant, he's merciful. That mercifulness was one of Prabhupada's big qualities. You watch the early movies, Prabhupada's in San Francisco with the people in the park, and all the, they're all young people, hippie people, strange people. And he's there in his dhoti and his tilak, and he has his kartals, and he's just, singing Hare Krishna, and they're all dancing around him. Prabhupada very tolerant. Prabhupada said, in the beginning, I did not give you many rules. I said, simply chant Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy.
Mantramo Hare Krishna,
because he can understand the nature of these people. So merciful and friendly to all living entities. Prabhupada was always friendly. And devotees should also be friendly. When I read this verse yesterday, I was thinking, sometimes our devotees are not so friendly. How many grumpy devotees do we know? It's like, Hare Krishna. Devotees should be happy, should be smiling, the face is the gauge of the mind. So we should look bright. Prabhupada said my devotees are bright-faced. Not that we're, dull-looking or morose. So these are things to work on. We should be friendly. We're always friendly to the ants. Nobody steps on an ant purposely. We all know the ants are Krishna's living entities, but sometimes we're stepping on our God-brothers or God-sisters,
not
physically, but emotionally. So we should try to be friendly. Even if someone is not our friend, we should be friendly toward them.
se prijateljski
nastavili. It's interesting when Prabhupada would go on walks.
Zanimljivo da bi Prabhupada išao na šetnje.
You know, we're thinking, you know, he walks, he comes up to somebody, you know, just a person in the walk. And he'll say, good morning.
Dok bi šetao i rekao bi, dobro jutro.
We're thinking, why didn't he say Hare Krishna?
A mi smo mislili, pa zašto nije rekao Hare Krishna? A Prabhupada bi rekao, dobro jutro.
Because that's, the person doesn't, you know, he probably just trying to be friendly.
Prabhupada jednostavno nastojao biti prijateljski.
Prabhupada was very cordial with everyone. He wasn't fanatic. Sometimes we have this nature as new devotees to be fanatical.
Mladi bhakti imamo,
and, nature being
imamo,
young.
But, biti
we have to turn that fanaticism into maturity, mature our fanaticism to Krishna consciousness.
Zrelost u
svijetu. So he has no enemies and he is peaceful and he abides by the scriptures. And all his characteristics are sublime. So we met Srila Prabhupada, we became God intoxicated. And similarly, Prabhupada has created an army of devotees who are preaching Krishna consciousness. There are so many sannyasis, so many devotees who have taken the responsibility to initiate students, and we want to associate with them. I mean, personally, I really enjoy coming here. Sachinandan Maharaj is kind of owned by Europe. We don't see him much in America. He comes to that festival of inspiration. But he's here most of the time. But I see in him great love and devotion for Krishna. You know, I see somebody who's really
vidim nekoga tko
got
je,
it, and I want it. So I want to be with him.
Želim,
and that should
ja
be our desire. We want to be
njime.
With people who have Krishna.
Ljudima,
there's one song, I'm simply running behind you. You have Krishna, I'm running behind you. Give
ja
me Krishna.
Krishna.
So that is our mood.
Ja
that we also want to be with devotees who have Krishna. That's why we love to be with Vishnu Jan Swami.
Zato
and all these happy devotees who were just emulating
Krishna
consciousness. And if someone, you know, sometimes we're not all perfect. So those who are not perfect, we try to help them become perfect by being their friends, by encouraging them in Krishna consciousness. So I want to thank you. This is the first time I ever spoke in Croatia. I will honestly say I was a bit nervous. I am a householder. I don't give class every day like our sannyasis. They're giving 200 or 300 classes a year. I'm giving 2 or 3 a year. So for me, this is a new experience. I am breaking out of my my responsibilities of just working and trying to come out to meet the devotees and experience the Krishna consciousness with all of you.
So,
are there any questions? We have a few minutes. We're not running late like yesterday. Yes, Prabhu.
Vinod Thakur says in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita
that one
condition for entering grihastha life
is that
devotee is mentally able to live with a woman.
Da bhakta može živjeti
sa ženom.
Što to znači? Da je mentalno sposoban živjeti sa ženom. Što to znači?
How does it look like
i kako to izgleda
kad is not mentally able
osoba
to
nije mentalno spremna?
Thank you.
Well, mentally able.
Mentalno sposoban.
Am I even mentally able to live
ja
with a woman?
Jesam ja uopće sposoban
have to ask my
živjeti
wife.
Sa ženom? Trebamo pitati moju ženu.
Mentally able means that he
znači
accepts his wife
svoju ženu
as a partner,
kao partnera,
as a human being,
kao ljudsko biće,
and not as an object of sense gratification.
Predmet za svoje uživanje.
Finally, I am getting
konačno,
sense enjoyment.
Konačno ću uživati.
But I am marrying a soul.
Već
who is part of Krishna. Krishna Dasi, Krishna Das. And that I enter into that relationship as a partnership, that here is another person in a female body who is a servant of Krishna, who is initiated by the spiritual master, who is the servant of the guru. Not that I've got the object of my sense enjoyment at my hands now. I think that is that we have to create a life together.
And
Chanakya Pandit says that married life without children is void, so children are part of the deal, part of the responsibility, and that we have to bring them up in Krishna consciousness, and that I have to be responsible to support everyone. Not that I'm, making my, the wife, especially when she has children, she can't work. So I have to be able to support the family. So one must be mentally prepared in that way.
Treba mentalno biti spremna na taj način.
Responsible odgovorna. Attitude.
To je stav odgovornosti.
My understanding of it. So. Another question?
Ma još koje pitanje?
Yeah.
Is it how does it look like when person is not able to?
Al kako to izgleda kad osoba nije sposobna?
Person who can't.
Who's not ready or not mentally?
Yes,
the symptom of
can we say there are some people who can't be able mentally?
Well, we would hope that eventually everyone could be mentally competent to live with a woman. Some people may not be at a stage of their life, but in the future they may become. Those who are not should remain as brahmacharis, despite the agitation. And those who are not and enter the household life, we see that they usually act irresponsibly and get divorced because they have not fully accepted the duties involved in the ashram. So that is usually the symptom that they cannot maintain the relationship properly. It's not easy.
Nije lako.
Nothing is easy. Krishna consciousness. We say it's easy, we also say it's not easy.
Isto tako,
it's simple,
lako.
But it's complicated. Marriage is like that too. It's simple, but it's complicated. Jednostavan
je, ali je i složen, kompliciran.
Any other thoughts? Yes.
If we live in the Grihastha ashram for the rest of life because we are not able to leave the company of a family, which probability, which we have to have success in spiritual life?
So if we're not able to take sannyas, if we remain as householders throughout our whole life, what's our
possibility to have success?
How can we be Krishna conscious?
Kako možemo biti
to achieve? Well, first of all, sannyas is only for the four varnas. So sannyas is for those in the brahmana stage. The sudras, the vaishyas, the kshatriyas did not take sannyas generally. So, Krishna consciousness, we're supposed to all be brahmanas, Prabhupada's training brahmanas, but in our hearts maybe we're really not. Maybe we're really sudras. Devotee sudras. Different connotation. Or maybe we're vaishyas. I personally like business, been doing business my whole life. Am I qualified to take sannyas at some point? I'm happy being what I am. Prabhupada said, if your family life is not a disturbance to you, there's no reason to leave it. Prabhupada left it because it wasn't favorable for his advancement in Krishna consciousness and his service to his spiritual master. His wife didn't, the story of trading the Bhagavatam for the tea biscuits. If your wife is giving away your Bhagavatams for ice cream or something, then there's a problem there. So, So it's up to the, you know, depends on the situation.
Dakle,
one can, Bhaktivinoda Thakur never took
sannyas.
He stayed in his household life. At the end, he was kind of like a Babaji, although I don't think there was an official ceremony. He just, you know, he retired from family life. But he never had a danda. And he never went out traveling all over India preaching. He was writing.
So.
So there is this instance that Bhaktisiddhanta, he could not save this soul of this man who, his wife, he dragged...
His disciple?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, at the sannyas ceremony. There was this, one story, Bhaktisiddhanta was giving sannyas to a man, married man. I don't know how old he was. But his wife comes to the ceremony. Drags him out. So, obviously, they did not have a very good discussion about his moving on in his ashram before the ceremony. Otherwise, that wouldn't have happened. So, it says in ISKCON today, if one wants to take sannyas, he has to get permission from his wife. And also, the wife needs to, the GBC needs to see that the wife is materially taken care of. That, you know, that the husband has made arrangements for her living, her financial stability. So, this is how ISKCON has
na taj način ISKCON,
wants to be responsible
na taj
with its
ISKCON
members
želi biti odgovoran prema svojim
so that we're not leaving a bunch of women destitute
ostane,
in the name of devotional service.
Gomila žena koje su ostali u jednom stanju u ime predanog služenja.
So any other thoughts? If not... Anyway, we're doing Grihastha seminar today at 4 o'clock, or 4:30, at the Stripe tent at the entrance.
So,
today we're going to talk about
children
and relations between husband and wife in terms of physical contact on a social level.
Što se tiče fizičkog kontakta na socijalnoj razini, to neke zanimljive teme.
So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.